Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine. Last month, Boulder and Xcel Energy announced that discussions were underway to possibly arrive at an alternative to a city-run, community-owned electric utility. That's a goal that's been pursued for more than a decade. An engagement session on the topic was held last night. We'll have more coming up after headlines. After that, with summer upon us, many folks are heading out around the highways and byways of Colorado. We'll hear how the COVID-19 has impacted tourism on Colorado's western slope. On Radio Nibbles, John Lindorf joins us from his patio in Louisville, and we'll catch up on some closings, but also some openings in the restaurant world around the Front Range. At the bottom of the hour, on A Public Affair this morning, host Tish Buford speaks with Terence Roberts, a longtime community activist in Denver, a former gang member turned anti-violence and anti-gang activist who has been involved in the recent legislation around police reform and accountability. Then at 9 o'clock, it is the June edition of the Radio Book Club, which is a monthly collaboration between KGNU and the Boulder Bookstore. And today we're delighted to have author Lisa C. join us to talk about her latest novel set on an island in South Korea, the Island of Sea Women. At 9:30, Ginger is in for the Morning Sound Alternative. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Governor Jared Polis announced on Wednesday that he is looking into how his office can respond to the death of Elijah McLean, the 23-year-old black man who died after being stopped by police in Aurora last August. Governor Polis tweeted yesterday that he was hearing from many Coloradans who have expressed concerns with the investigation of Elijah McLean's death. As a result, Governor Polis tweeted, he has instructed his legal counsel to examine what the state can do, and he says that they are assessing next steps. A petition to reopen the investigation into the death of Elijah McLean on change.org has amassed more than 2.6 million signatures. McLean, a massage therapist, was unarmed on his way home from a convenience store in Aurora last August. He was dancing, and a caller to 911 reported that a man was wearing a ski mask and waving his arms around. The police arrived. Ultimately, McLean was put into a chokehold. He was given ketamine, and then he suffered two heart attacks on the way to hospital. He was pronounced brain dead 6 days later. The Adams County District Attorney later determined that the three officers involved in McLean's arrest did not commit any criminal acts. Ultimately, no charges were filed against them. However, the city of Aurora recently announced that the city manager is working with members of Aurora City Council and the mayor to initiate a new independent external investigation into the actions of police, firefighters and paramedics in the Elijah McLean case. Speaking at a press conference about COVID-19 on Wednesday, Governor Jared Polis said that people should continue to practice social distancing and to wear face masks to ensure that the state doesn't see a large spike in COVID-19 cases. Polis encouraged people to minimise contact with others and to avoid large gatherings during the upcoming July 4th holiday.
We don't want our 4th of July holiday in Colorado to be what Memorial Day weekend was in Arizona and Florida and lead to a renewed round of 20 times the level of virus where you get to the point where it could be overwhelming our healthcare facilities.
Many fireworks shows have been cancelled as a result of the pandemic. These include the shows in Boulder and Longmont. In Denver, officials are now warning about an uptick in the use of illegal fireworks in the city. On Wednesday, multiple agencies in Denver, including the fire department, held a press conference to address the issue. They say they've received more than 750 complaints in recent days. To put that into context, that's about a tenfold increase compared to this time last last year when only 69 calls about illegal fireworks were made to Denver Police and the Denver Fire Department. A spokesperson for the city's fire department said yesterday that the dangers of using illegal fireworks far outweighs any potential benefit, particularly with the dry weather and the potential for fires. In the weather today, expect warm temperatures. Sunny skies in the forecast with highs in the low 90s. That afternoon, thunderstorm, the possibility of that is staying with us through the next few days. And in fact, tomorrow, we're likely to see rain through the day. Highs today, close to 90 degrees, but tomorrow, a little bit cooler. The forecast high for Friday is 80 degrees, but warming up into the upper 80s and even the low 90s for Saturday and Sunday. It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. Boulder and XL Energy held the last in a series of listening sessions last night to allow residents to provide feedback on a settlement that could result in a partnership with the energy company rather than the city pursuing its own municipal controlled utility. KGNU's Ros Brown listened in to hear what participants had to say.
Boulder's effort to create a city-owned utility began in 2010, when it declined to renew a 20-year contract with Xcel, and many participating in last night's virtual listening session want to continue on that path.
I think this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to make a difference for the future.
That's Bob Morehouse, a 40-year business owner in Boulder. He believes establishing a local utility would be an act of courage.
These opportunities don't come along all the time, and nobody says they're easy. In fact, you look back at great things that have happened that everybody thinks, oh, this was so wonderful. If you go back and look at the history of the Pearl Street Mall, it didn't just happen overnight. There were people saying, this is our street. This is going to kill business. This is going to do all these different things. So I want to just suggest to the city council, think about what you're doing here. This is a very powerful moment. I'm totally fine with everybody talking to Xcel, but I think the idea that we could control this is very powerful. I think local power is what this is all about. Local control, local decarbonization, taking into future our own responsibility for our own carbon footprint.
Carbon reduction was addressed by Alice Jackson, president of Xcel Energy in Colorado, who tried to reassure listeners on the call that the energy company's priorities have changed in recent years.
With the bold announcement that the company made in December of 2018 to work towards an 80% carbon reduction by 2030, and then to keep going and figure out how we can reach a zero carbon system by 2050. That's a very big difference from where we were back in 2016.
In case you haven't been paying attention, last month, city leaders made a surprise announcement that settlement negotiations were being pursued with Xcel, possibly ending the decade-long voter-approved pursuit of its own municipal electric utility. But the price tag for that has been high, with Xcel and the city repeatedly battling it out in court. Now, Boulder is facing a severe financial crisis due to the coronavirus pandemic and floating a possible compromise on community energy goals to strike a deal with Xcel. Xcel says it can reach an 80% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030, but Boulder's climate goals call for 100% renewable energy by that date. To meet that goal, Boulder would like Xcel to let it procure power from other companies to supplement the utility's offerings. So far, Xcel has not agreed to that, which led Marguerite Berenger to raise the issue of trust.
Particularly because I work in the energy industry and I have a lot of experience reviewing utility requests and plans, and so often advocates and citizens like myself and nonprofits often find tons of holes and tons of unmet promises from investor-owned utilities. And ultimately, Xcel does have a lot of benefits being a large utility. They can have some cost-effective investments. They have a lot of resources. But alternatively, they're not going to be paying attention to the individual desires and needs of a unique town like Boulder. I think it's really important right now that we acknowledge that environmental justice is racial justice, and taking local hold of our own power would give us the opportunity to really make decisions that reflect our needs.
A familiar voice on last night's call was Patrick Murphy. He regularly appears at city council meetings to encourage Boulder to quit the municipalization effort. Earlier this year, he began collecting signatures for a November ballot question to end the muni, but says the pandemic prevented the group from collecting enough signatures. He told KGNU he'd like to see an equitable solution.
Seeing this wasted time and money hurts me. It makes me sad. And I've followed it closely. At the very beginning, I voted for it. We need to collaborate, not litigate.
For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
I'm Heather from Parent Possible. There's still time to respond to the 2020 census. When children aren't counted, important programs are underfunded. Respond by phone, mail, or online. Kids count, babies count. In Colorado, everyone counts.
Sponsored by Open Media Foundation and Colorado Broadcasters Association.
It is 16 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, tourism is a major industry for many mountain towns in Colorado. It's a significant part of the economy in Lake City on the western slope. The town's population swells from 400 to several thousand during the summer. Laura Palisamo from our sister station, KVNF, reports now on what's different this year for the town as it starts to welcome tourists during a pandemic.
June afternoon in Lake City, Colorado. The local Chamber of Commerce is right off the main highway, across the street from the post office and movie theater. Katrina Menzies is the executive director of the chamber. She says several times a day, she gets the same call.
So the majority of the calls right now have been, are we open? Are we welcoming visitors? Or are we pushing people away?
Menzies says yes, Lake City is open, but with restrictions.
I absolutely tell people that we are welcoming visitors, but in the same token, I say, be mindful, be respectful of our locals and our local businesses. And if you're asked to wear a mask, wear a mask.
The chamber offers disposable masks to anyone who needs one. Minzy says some visitors don't like being told they should wear one.
Some people don't like hearing that, but most people are very willing to do whatever they need to do just so that they can leave their homes to come to ours and enjoy the solitude and everything we have.
Alan Carr is visiting Lake City with his family. He's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
My family's been coming up here since the 50s, so we come up every 2 to 3 years.
Carr says he wasn't certain if he'd be able to visit Lake City this year due to the coronavirus.
We wasn't sure we were going to be able to come until about 10 days before this past weekend. We're just keeping up with the rules for Colorado and the city and the county.
Carr is holding a cloth face mask in his hand. He wears it when entering local businesses. He says traveling during the pandemic requires more awareness.
Just being a little bit more conscious of your social distancing, you know, be conscious if the store owners require masks, which we don't mind wearing. We wore them at home for the past 3 months.
Tracy Langtree owns Cabin Fever Mercantile, a gift shop in town. She says last summer they faced potential flooding. Now it's coronavirus, and she's spending a lot of time cleaning her store.
Having the sanitizer available for everybody, having checkout area, having to clean it constantly, keeping your Clorox wipes on hand. It's just trying to be clean as possible.
Despite this, Langtree says business is good.
More so than last year already at this point. So it's constant. People are peering in the windows and the doors and they want to shop.
Sean Peters is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She owns a second home in Lake City. She says she feels safe here during the pandemic.
First of all, it's remote, so I feel like it's the safest place to be. And it's important for me to come back because I know there's people that live here year-round and they're counting on us to come and spend money. And so that's important to us, too, so that our town stays alive.
William Elkins owns Southern Vittles, a local restaurant. He says business is down compared to last year.
We're running about 70% of what we normally see. We are, however, one of the few places that are open right now. And so with that in mind, that tells me that there's probably fewer people in town. Once everybody's open, I think we'll see what little pie we're getting this year cut into a lot smaller slices.
Elkin says aside from less customers, the restaurant is facing other challenges.
The supply chains are suffering big time. We've seen shortages in everything from our dry goods to actually just being able to get the proteins that we need.
Back at the Chamber of Commerce, Katrina Menzies says there's no question that Lake City and other mountain towns depend on tourism, but the spread of the coronavirus is a real threat.
It's hard because you know you need the visitors. You know you need to bring that revenue into our county, but you also know that there's the possibility somebody you know might get sick, if not yourself. And that is scary.
But she adds, the town needs visitors. Without them, she says, businesses would close and residents would move away. Reporting from Lake City, Colorado, I'm Laura Palmisano.
And speaking yesterday, Governor Polis urged Coloradoans and people coming from out of the state who are visiting other parts of Colorado, particularly small mountain communities as tourists, to please be conscious of the ongoing pandemic, to respect the local restrictions and particularly around the wearing of face masks. It is 8:21. You're listening to Community Radio KGNU. Coming up this evening on It's the Economy, we're going to take a look at images. And this is on the show with Nathan Schneider. He'll be your host. He's going to talk about which images count as evidence. We're haunted and mobilized by images. And in fact, the cell phone video of George Floyd's death has set cities alive with protests, and it's elevated Black struggles for justice. It's also reminded white Americans of the violence that their society is organized to blind them to. Well, this evening on Looks Like New, which is our monthly show and It's the Economy, we're going to hear from guest Sandra Ristovska, who's a scholar and filmmaker at the University of Colorado in Boulder. And she specializes in video evidence of human rights crimes. And she explores the meaning of images in courts and social movements that are taking place around the world. Do tune in for that. It's coming up this evening at 6 o'clock. Up next, though, it's time for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Time for Radio Nibbles with John Lendorf. Joining us live from his patio garden in Louisville, we've got lots and lots of food-related news to catch up on. Most of it good. There's some pretty exciting local food news, John.
It's big and it's sad, depending on whether you grew up in Colorado. Everyone who's ever shopped at King Soopers with a kid knows that they have the penny ponies at the front of the store. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic, King Soopers has pulled them all out, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. So, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of pennies over the years. But that's looks like that's over with now.
I would imagine there would be a lot of people who'd be interested in acquiring one of the horses. I think it's a bit early to find out the fate of them yet. Any news as to where they may end up, John?
You know, personally, I think one should be on your front porch. But, you know, I'll keep you apprised of where they're going to end up.
We have some closures to talk about, but also some openings. I know that Rosetta Hall is seeing a departure there, but it's going to be reincarnated somewhere else. What's the news on that?
Natasha Hess announced that Ginger Pig, which was a food truck and then went into a stall at Rosetta Hall, is closing at the hall in Boulder, and it's going to reopen soon as a freestanding restaurant in Denver. But meanwhile, I just heard that Boulder's second food hall, Avanti Food and Beverage, which is where the Cheesecake Factory was, that's going to open in August. It's going to have at least six eateries in it. And one of them actually is a Taiwanese-focused place called Pig and Tiger.
Exciting to be able to talk about restaurants opening as opposed to closing, because there's an actual new restaurant that's also opened up in downtown Erie as well.
I think we all should patronize this business just for the sheer hope and chutzpah involved in Chris Teigland, a chef. He just opened Birdhouse, which is a little place that specializes in tacos, ramen, and rum, and it's in downtown Erie. But it takes a lot of belief in the future to do that right now.
Some other folks who have belief in the future, certainly when it comes to restaurants, and this is good news for folks living in the foothills in the mountains here. The long-closed Millsite Inn on the Peak to Peak Highway, that's been relaunched.
There's a young couple that has reopened it, and they're starting to do a limited amount of food and drink. It was a very popular spot for bicyclists, and also for years, of course, there was a bluegrass jam there. The other thing up in the mountains that you know makes me happy, open for the season now, the Gold Hill Inn in Gold Hill and the fabulous Wonder View Cafe.
Despite everything that's going on, the Boulder Weekly still managed to pull together the 2020 Best of Boulder special section that includes shout outs to local food and drink establishments. And people can catch that online at boulderweekly.com. However, there are awards for restaurants that are actually now going to be closed.
Yeah, the deadline for publishing it was a little bit earlier. And so there's a bunch of awards for the Med, which closed recently, along with Brasserie 1010 and Via Perla. Yes, the best we can say is it still remains a very, very challenging situation for restaurants.
Everybody is aware of all of the anti-racism demonstrations, protests, rallies that have been taking place for weeks now. Well, bakers are getting in on this as well. I know that there's a fundraiser that's going to be happening and the money's going to Black Lives Matter 5280.
There's a wonderful group called the Colorado Grain Chain, promotes heirloom baking and that kind of thing. But there's a collective bake sale. You don't have to bring it anywhere. You just have to bake something, sell it, and then donate the money to Black Lives Matter 5280. Amateur and professional bakers are doing that this weekend. You can find out more at ColoradoGrainChain.com.
It's encouraging to see the farmers markets beginning to reopen around the Front Range, albeit in a slightly different fashion. I know that the Lafayette Farmers Market is opening today. Things are a little bit different, though.
Well, they're opening it the same way they opened Boulder and Longmont, in that today it's only for a pickup that you had to pre-order. I think it's going to be that way for a couple of weeks. But eventually the Lafayette Farmers Market will open up just like the other ones. You can check on that at bcfm.org.
What's the best thing that you've tasted lately?
Well, it's just fun to eat somebody else's food. I actually got to sit down and eat breakfast outside at the Walnut Cafe, and I got some takeout chicken mole from Tierra y Fuego Taqueria. Wonderful little place on North Broadway. It was just nice to be out.
Well, you can read John's dissertation about visiting a hostess Twinkie's factory. That's at his blog, johnlindorf.wordpress.com. And of course, catch John every Thursday morning right here at KGNU.
Hey, folks, buy your produce from local farmers. Keep agriculture alive.
Look in the Fendel Mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hannah, Davy, Tommy, Dora, Andre. Everybody eats when they come to my house.